About 10 years ago, on a Thursday night, James Martin had just arrived home when the deafening sound of gunshots rang out. He looked out the window and saw a young man laying on the ground. Troubled by the senseless loss of another life in the neighborhood, he decided he had to do something. That following Sunday, he put on a suit, grabbed his portable karaoke machine, went to the sidewalk memorial erected for the young man, and he began singing.
I began singing, "Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead."
He did this to draw attention to the violence plaguing the neighborhood. Today, Martin is still standing up for San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood. Recently, he called on local fathers to walk their children to school, then marched to the Bayview Opera House for a rally.
We're here in commitment to our children, and we're here in commitment to our community. You all make some noise about that.
Martin's main focus now is helping men stay involved in their children's lives and their community. Reporter Laura Flynn followed Martin around for a few days to find out how he does this.
James Martin is originally from Detroit, but his family arrived in Bayview in 1959. His father was a bus driver and moved the family out west as the Detroit transit system was shrinking and San Francisco's growing.
He said, "Well, you guys, when you come out here, we're going to live on a big house on a hill overlooking the ocean." And I said, you know, I tell people Dad was, he was not totally wrong. We lived on a big hill in the projects overlooking the bay.
Martin was 8 when he, his mom, and 6 siblings moved into the Hunters Point housing project.
It was a very, very beautiful area. I mean, the grounds were kept very nicely and very neatly.
Then the money dried up, the gardener was gone, and it changed.
I'll always remember my friends and I, you know, picking out those of our friends who we thought were the rich ones in the environment. I believe that our perception was those households that had a father in the family who had a car and a job, we felt like they were the wealthy ones.
Was your father not there?
Well, yeah, after Dad got us here from Detroit, unfortunately, but he was gone. We got here in 59, and by 61, he was gone into another life. So Mom spent the rest of that time raising us.
As Martin was growing up, he noticed how much more civically active women were in the neighborhood, fighting to bring dollars to the community, to fund programs, several that shaped who he is today. But throughout his life, he continued to ask this one question: where are the men? Then one day, on a school field trip to the phone company, an unexpected role model walked into his life.
And he was African American. He came down and he greeted us all at the door, a group of us kids.
The man was wearing a 3-piece suit.
And he said, "We're about to have an extraordinary experience that you all may not have seen or heard before."
The man took Martin and the group of students to the phone company's central office. Walking into the office, they hear click, 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 click.
And he was able to explain to us what the clicks were all about. He said, "Every time you hear one of these hundreds of clicks and thousands of clicks you're hearing, that means someone somewhere is taking the phone off the hook." And it was just amazing to us. And he spoke so clearly, made us understand the depth of that technology at the time. I said 2 things to myself. I said, "I got to get me one of those suits." Number one. And number two, I said, "This is the job I want to do."
Martin got the suit and the job. He started off at the telephone company right out of high school. While there, he became the head of urban affairs. His job was to help the company address issues in mostly minority communities. Martin became the main liaison to the NAACP. One day, his home phone rang, and it was NAACP's then executive director, Dr. Benjamin Hooks, with an offer.
The regional director of the Western region of the NAACP, the same job that gentleman in my high school had been in.
Martin says the next few years were sobering, dealing with a series of letter bombs, death threats, racial violence, white supremacists, police shootings. Then he received a letter from members of infamous Los Angeles gangs, the Crips and the Bloods, claiming inhumane conditions in the L.A. County Jail.
And they said, in essence, help us, NAACP. It's not that we don't belong in jail. We have done things that cause us to need to be in jail because we've broken the law. But what's going on inside here is not supposed to be happening to us or any human beings.
Martin's life was about to change again. With the team, he visited the jail.
And I went and I walked into that jail, and I could barely keep from crying myself. I remember then biting my tongue. And as far as I could see on all three tiers, there was a young black man. They got hope just seeing us there.
Martin says inmates reported horrendous conditions, including allegations of torture. While working to improve conditions for these men, Martin realized that they weren't the only ones being affected by their incarceration. These men left voids behind in their communities.
Right now, I can show you all kinds of documentation that talk about, you know, the implication of what happens in communities when the fathers are missing.
He saw a similar problem when he looked around his own neighborhood. Out of this came the Men and Fatherhood Service Program. James Martin started it on his own, but soon the local YMCA got interested and helped him with some funding. Martin says they try to help men manage their emotions, learn how to address relationship issues, and how to be a supportive parent. In the last 4 years, over 100 men have gone through the group. Aladdin Fagan relied on the group when his son was taken from his ex's custody 2 years ago.
During that process, I was made to do anger management classes, fatherhood classes, parenting classes. And a lot of times when things didn't go my way, I would have to bring myself into class, holding my heart in my hands.
After running the groups at the Bayview YMCA since 2009, Martin is retiring, but he's left a signature mark.
All right, okay, all right. One, two, three!
That's the man sound. Tonight, a room full of current and past participants, colleagues, and friends come together to say goodbye to Martin at his retirement party in the best way they know how.
So are you ready to do it again? Make sure with the neighborhood knows we're here. You ready? All right, we're going to do this. One, two, three! See, that's why we make a man sound, because we need to know people. We need people to know that we are here and that we're not going anywhere. And if we haven't been there, then we're going to get back to where we need to be.
Aladdin Fagan didn't just learn the man sound from Martin. He says Martin taught him how to be a man.
Because that's one thing a lot of us men never learned growing up, was how to be a man.
That was the same for Martin until he met the man in the three-piece suit. Now he's trying to be even more than a man in a suit to the men in his community. Though he's retiring from the Y, it's not quite the end. He plans to support building the infrastructure of the fatherhood program so it can continue without him and be replicated in other areas. And in the meantime, you might find him speaking at a rally, singing, or performing spoken word about love and brotherhood.
When you love a brother back, you love his family. You love your community. You love the little children that we all love to see. When you love a brother back, it's about us. It's about what we do. It's about who we are.
In Bayview, I'm Laura Flynn for Cross Currents.
Love a brother back. I love you, my brothers. Love me back.